and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz, a former police chief convicted of rape and murder who escaped from prison, is still on the run, for now.
Grant Hardin had been at a prison in Arkansas since 2017. He escaped around 3:40 p.m. Sunday, police say, wearing a makeshift outfit designed to mimic law enforcement. Hardin was the former police chief for the city of Gateway, Arkansas, and pleaded guilty to murder, and is also serving time for the rape of an elementary school teacher. Rand Champion is with the state's Department of Corrections and thinks they could be close to recapturing him.
We do feel very confident that he is fairly close to the prison here at Calico Rock. We've had a lot of tips and leads that have forced us to believe that.
Matt Piper, CBS News.
And authorities say they've captured three more of the 10 inmates who broke out of a jail in New Orleans 10 days ago. That leaves just two more. At least 47 people were injured when a minivan plowed into a crowd of celebrating soccer fans in Liverpool, England. Here's City Councillor Liam Robinson.
Liverpool is a city that has a proud history of coming together and supporting each other during challenging times. I've no doubt that will again be the case over the coming days and weeks.
Police say the 53-year-old driver acted alone. It was smooth sailing at troubled Newark Liberty International Airport on Memorial Day, likely because the FAA has put a temporary limit on the number of flights into and out of the airport as its technology is upgraded. CBS's Meg Oliver is there.
It does seem to have eased some of the strain on the aging system. They cut down the number of flights coming in and out to around 56, and typically 80 flights per hour go in and out of Newark. So that seems to have helped alleviate the situation for now.
A Memorial Day presidential speech veered into politics.
President Trump laid a wreath at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier Monday, commemorating the servicemen and women who have made the ultimate sacrifice.
They gave everything, and we owe them everything and much, much more.
He raised eyebrows when portions of his speech criticized the Biden administration.
That was a hard 4 years we went through.
The president also used his Arlington address to tout the U.S. hosting the 2026 World Cup and the 2028 Olympic Games. Erica Brown, CBS News, Washington.
Singer Billie Eilish has won Artist of the Year at the American Music Awards.
This is so crazy. I feel speechless. Thank you so much. I love you all so much. I wish I could be there tonight. I'm on tour, getting to see you all over the world.
The sound courtesy of Dick Clark Productions, and Britain's King Charles has arrived in Ottawa on a visit that Canada's leader says will underscore his nation's sovereignty. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hi, this is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. Join us each Monday morning at the top of the 10 o'clock hour for tips, tricks, and a whole lot of fun. The Kitchen's Open, only on WFHR.
A big win at home for the Crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports at American Family Field in Milwaukee, where the Brewers held on to a 3-2 win over the Boston Red Sox. Things got started early. Jackson Chourio in the leadoff spot, bottom of the first. And the first pitch to him on FanDuel Wisconsin.
Swing and a drive!
Chourio's first ever career leadoff home run and the first this season for the Crew. Did that set the tone? Pat Murphy.
Yeah, I think it did. I think it always sets a tone when you come out ready and the first hitter that you have kind of makes a statement.
And D.L. Hall making his first appearance since coming off the IL. Closer Trevor McGill on getting the win before a sold-out crowd of over 40,000.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this stadium gets rocking when there's, you know, a bunch of people in it, and definitely felt that today. Thank you for the fans for coming out today.
That's the Brewers' Trevor McGill with Sports on Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Look for a mostly cloudy sky and a light east breeze in the overnight. Morning lows in the upper 40s, close to 50 degrees. Shower chances picking up on Tuesday, especially in the afternoon. A mostly cloudy sky, highs reaching the upper 60s. Right now it's 54.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, author Laura Bird talks about some of the upcoming books for your summer reading list and how she finds out about those new books that are being released.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalba.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Because probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our fantastic producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is now 6 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Monday, Memorial Day. Glad to have you along with us here on the holiday weekend. Hope it is being safe and you're enjoying time with family and friends. Mr. Zommers, welcome in. Glad to have you here on the holiday.
And glad to be with you.
Yeah, absolutely. Glad to have everyone along with us. In full disclosure, we're not here in person live. This is a pre-recorded show, but we did it especially for today, for Memorial Day, so our friends and family here and staff at Civic Media can enjoy the time with others. I know I've said this on the show leading up to today, but look, I hope that people are enjoying time. I'm going to be today with family and friends. Cookouts, that's a big part of it.
I know. Oh, yeah.
Wisconsin Dells, tourism. It's a big kickoff to the summertime. Great time of year. But I also hope that everybody has taken time, or at some point today, maybe during our show, takes a moment or a few moments to remember what this day is really about. And look, I'm not a hater. If people want to say happy Memorial Day, I'm not going to think less of them. But I guess it's because I had the unique opportunity in working with several military families back when I did congressional affairs, military affairs for a member of Congress back in the 90s, had the honor and privilege of working with active duty military people and also veterans, and worked with families who had lost loved ones in the line of service. And so I got a glimpse into, not having served myself, but I got a glimpse into what Memorial Day is really about and what this day really means. And I know, and I think it's important to recognize that Memorial Day is a very difficult day for a lot of families because they've lost loved ones, some very recently, some years ago, but that hurt remains. And maybe not just in the military. It's a day that a lot of people will go to cemeteries and put flowers on graves in memory of people that they've lost recently or over the years. So it's a day of solemnness and of remembrance, and to pause and reflect and recognize that. So I'm just not one to embrace the happy Memorial Day thing. I don't look, we should all enjoy it the way we want to, but I think it's important to know that there are people out there who are really hurting today. And it's a special day. Our hearts and thoughts and prayers go out to them, and sending good vibes to everybody as well. We have a nice show for you today coming up at the bottom of this hour. We're actually going to revisit an interview we did last year with Jeremy Lyon, who is the Division of Veterans Benefits Administrator for the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs. And due to a couple of snafus last year, the entire interview did not play out. And so we thought, well, all great content and information, it's not dated, because all the things he says in this interview are still very, very true. And I think a lot of people don't understand what Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs is and actually does.
Right. And the discussion clears a lot of that up. He also, he talks about his service and why he's there and why it's important to so many people and so many families.
Yeah, absolutely. And part of his job is to oversee the veteran cemeteries, the official veteran cemeteries of the state of Wisconsin, and talks about the services that will be happening at some of them, if they haven't happened already, at veteran cemeteries across the state of Wisconsin on this Memorial Day. So going to hear from him. Also going to do a little veterans music, and then an hour two, or I should say patriotic music. And then an hour two, our old friend Kira Sabin, our life psychology coach, will be here. She was here a week ago and talked about coping. And we're actually going to have her back on the show tomorrow to round out this three-part series she's been doing all May. May, of course, is Mental Health Awareness Month. And again, I think a lot of people on this day today, they do have a tough time in coping with that loss. So I thought it was a good opportunity. And we're not just going to talk about coping with death, but also just kind of coping with all the things that are coming at us this right now in life. And so I thought it was a good time, a good opportunity to revisit that conversation with Kira as well. So hope you'll stay with us for this great Memorial Day show as we remember those who have passed before. I thought it was appropriate just to start off, because I think, I don't know, did your family, Zomers, grow up by visiting grave sites or cemeteries on Memorial Day?
Yes, and not always specifically Memorial Day, but anytime we took a family vacation, I mean, we were traveling around Wisconsin, and we would stop at whatever cemetery is in the area, try and find people either who served or were in our distant family, just find relatives and spend some time there.
And would you guys go and lay flowers and that sort of thing?
That, not really. I'm not sure why. It just wasn't part of the tradition that we had, I guess.
No, I get that. And again, I think that not every family grew up with that. I did. And I thought it might be appropriate to take a moment to review kind of the history of Memorial Day, as we do here the last couple of years. Memorial Day, originally known, a lot of older folks, parents, grandparents might still call it Decoration Day, and is one of the federal holidays in the United States for honoring and mourning the U.S. military personnel who died while serving the United States Armed Forces. It's observed on the last Monday of May. Memorial Day is also considered the unofficial beginning of summer in the United States. It is a day for visiting cemeteries and memorials to mourn the military personnel who died in the line of duty. And I think I'm going to stop there for a second for this article because, and again, not to be too judgy, but I think people get Memorial Day confused with Veterans Day.
I know I did when I was little.
Veterans Day happens in November, and that is a day set aside to remember all who have served, both living and dead, but to honor all the living veterans and celebrate them and their service. Memorial Day is unique in that it is a day set aside to observe those who have already died, and particularly those who died on active duty and in the line of duty. Volunteers place American flags on the graves of those military personnel in national cemeteries. Others, such as family and friends, will also come to lay flowers and grieve on the graves of those who died in the U.S. military. I know it's not just the official veteran cemeteries, but I know where I grew up, Richland Center, you had veterans and also community members come out. They still do. Usually the weekend before, the day before Memorial Day, and lay, or not lay, but put the American flag, because a lot of the veterans' tombstones have that brass kind of flag holder next to it. Those that don't, they would stick the flag in the ground, in the grass, right next to the headstone. But it's to put an American flag on the grave of all those veterans who have died, military people who have died in the line of duty. And for me, at least, I guess because I had this memory as a kid, there's still something when I pass a cemetery that's freshly mowed and the flowers are laid and the American flags are there, that's really touching to me. And it makes me pause and reflect on the freedoms that we all enjoy. And I don't want to get too political on this day, but there's a lot of debate right now about freedoms and our Constitution and the Bill of Rights and what those freedoms guarantee. And putting the politics aside, I hope that we can all agree on this Memorial Day that those freedoms that we all enjoy, regardless of who we voted for, those were bought and paid for with the blood of those who are in those cemeteries, under which or on top of which we see the American flag this time of year. So when you drive by and you see all these American flags in the cemetery, just know that means something. And I hope we can just pause and reflect that the people that we're honoring, they're the ones that paid for our right to protest and fight amongst each other and debate. But there's a whole lot more to it than that. I want to go take a moment here. This is Red Skelton, a comedian long since gone, but whose influence still endures. He did a stand-up one time. This got put into a song about the Pledge of Allegiance. And again, I think it's important to remember these words that we say in school at Memorial Day services, they mean something. And no one said it better in the day than Red Skelton. Here he is in a stand-up. I hope you enjoy it. Red Skelton on the Pledge of Allegiance.
But I had this one teacher. He was the principal of the Harrison School in Vincennes, Indiana. To me, this was the greatest teacher, a real sage of my time, anyhow. He had such wisdom. And we were all reciting the Pledge of Allegiance one day. And he walked over, this little old teacher. Mr. Laswell was his name. Mr. Laswell. He says, I have been listening to you boys and girls recite the Pledge of Allegiance all semester. And it seems as though it's becoming monotonous to you. If I may I recite it and try to explain to you the meaning of each word? I, me, an individual, a committee of one, pledge, dedicate all of my worldly goods to give without self-pity. Allegiance, my love and my devotion to the flag, our standard, O glory, a symbol of freedom. Wherever she waves, there's respect, because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts, freedom is everybody's job. United. That means that we have all come together. States. Individual communities that have united into 48 great states. 48 individual communities with pride and dignity and purpose. All divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common purpose. And that's love for country. And to the Republic. Republic. A state in which sovereign power is invested in representatives chosen by the people to govern. And government is the people. And it's from the people to the leaders. Not from the leaders to the people. For which it stands. One nation, meaning so blessed by God, indivisible, incapable of being divided, with liberty, which is freedom, the right of power to live one's own life without threats, fear, or some sort of retaliation. And justice, the principle or qualities of dealing fairly with others. For all, which means, boys and girls, it's as much your country as it is mine. And now, boys and girls, let me hear you recite the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Since I was a small boy, two states have been added to our country, and two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance, under God. Wouldn't it be a pity if someone said that is a prayer and that would be eliminated from schools too?
Red Skelton here. Stay with us back after this on Civic Media.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin, sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. Have you ever found yourself asking,
what's a good recipe for cookies my kids will love?
How do I avoid giving my guests food poisoning?
How would a restaurant chef prepare this meal?
If so, then tune into The Kitchen's Open, the show within the morning show each Monday morning at the start of the 10 o'clock hour. I'll tackle topics, teach techniques, or tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners. The Kitchen's Open. We'll tell you something good.
All across Wisconsin, destination marketing organizations are working to ensure that tourism in our state and your local community is stronger than ever. Because when you travel in Wisconsin, you see what our beautiful state has to offer. And now, more than ever, you see the importance of the travel and tourism industry and the impact it has on our community's small businesses, infrastructure, and economy. Destination marketing organizations statewide are working diligently to generate the economic benefits tourism has to offer and ensure that tourism in Wisconsin recovers better than ever. Their work to drive visitation, book meetings and conventions, and enhance the visitor experience not only encourages travelers to discover Wisconsin, it bolsters the economy, supports jobs, and it improves the quality of life for all Wisconsin residents. And you can do your part just by exploring Wisconsin yourselves or supporting your local destination marketing organization directly. To learn more about what Wisconsin's destination marketing organizations are doing, visit destinationswisconsin.com. Sponsored by Destinations Wisconsin.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on this Memorial Day. Glad to have you along. Farmers on the board. Going to take a moment here to talk about the fallen America's heroes. Last year, we revisited this with the University of Wisconsin-Madison's fallen service members on their Gold Star Honor Roll program. Enjoy. Going to have Jeremy Lyon. He is the Division Administrator, Division of Veterans Benefits at the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs. Talking before the break here a little bit about this really special and really cool Gold Star Honor Roll that is on display as a permanent display at the University of Wisconsin-Madison Memorial Union. It's interactive, and it goes from the very first known casualty in the Civil War of a student from the University of Wisconsin-Madison all the way through the latest casualty. And we're going to read some of these stories to you, and I will try to do them justice. For those that might not have caught it yesterday on Sunday, on PBS, there is the National Memorial Day Concert. It is always stunning. Yesterday was no exception. Joe Montana and Gary Sinise are the main hosts for that. It is being replayed today on Memorial Day on various Wisconsin public television stations. Check your local listing for times. You could also go on the PBS YouTube channel and check that out as well. I would encourage you to do it because it's so well done, and the way that they tell these stories and combine it with music, and in some cases having professional actors, it's not fiction. These are real stories, but being read by professional actors in the first person sometimes, they're extraordinarily powerful. And if you've never heard it or seen it before, again, go to the PBS YouTube channel or local listings today and tonight on Memorial Day proper, the National Memorial Day Concert on PBS. Really, really something else. I want to localize it, bring it back here to Wisconsin, and we're going to read you some of these stories, where they're from, and their service to our country and our state. I want to start with the latest on this Gold Star Honor Roll at the University of Wisconsin Memorial Union, and talk about him, talk about his service, and who he was. This is from Syria and Iraq. This is Kevin Michael Christ from the class of 2001. Kevin Michael Christ, his hometown was in West Bend, Wisconsin, born on September 17th, 1979. He died on December 18th, 2006, and he is buried at Arlington National Cemetery in Arlington, Virginia. Captain Christ studied kinesiology at UW-Madison. He joined the Marine Corps while in his sophomore year at UW-Madison, completing the officer candidate program upon graduation. He studied two basic training sessions in Quantico, Virginia, during the summers following his sophomore and junior years before graduating with the Wisconsin class of 2001. Once commissioned as an officer, Captain Christ completed officer candidate school at Quantico, where he was awarded a pilot contract. After, he trained in Pensacola for his pilot's license and earned a Commandant's Award for Excellence, choosing to fly Cobra helicopters. After additional trainings in San Diego and Miramar, he received the title of captain in October 2005 and deployed to Iraq twice. Captain Christ was very proud to serve his country in the Marine Corps and worked diligently to protect his Marines while piloting his Cobra helicopter. During his second deployment, Captain Christ was killed on December 18th, 2006, while serving in Iraq at Camp Korea, protecting his Marines. He left behind a fiance, his parents, one sister, and four brothers. Quote, Kevin was a wonderful child, an overall generous and kind person, Captain Christ's mother, Liz Christ, said. Computers, piano, French horn, running marathons, taking care of his siblings, and good friend to all were some of his passions in life. Captain Christ was posthumously awarded a Purple Heart, and his dedication and sacrifice to our country is why the Wisconsin Union takes part in the Gold Star Honor Roll. Again, Captain Kevin Michael Christ of the United States Marine Corps, class of 2001 at UW-Madison. These are powerful stories. If you read this and you hear family members talking about those who passed, again, it touches me. And I think it brings again to light the powerful sacrifice that people made. One more here, in honor of those who have fallen in the Somalia conflict, Mark Allen Quam, UW-Madison class of 1988. Born in Madison, Wisconsin on July 27th, 1966, and died in the Indian Ocean on March 14th, 1994. He is buried in Monona, Wisconsin. Mark's love for flying began early in his life. He worked hard and even earned his pilot's license before he got his driver's license. He wanted to attend the Air Force Academy. While he was unable to do so, he accepted an Air Force ROTC scholarship at UW-Madison and graduated with a degree in astrophysics. Mark loved UW-Madison and his time at the university as a student. In addition to his love for flying, he loved gaming, including Dungeons & Dragons. Another interest of Mark's was dancing with a Scottish dancing group while a Badger. The group performed on weekends at King Richard's Fair. It was at that fair where he met his wife, Anna. Mark also loved serving his country in the military. He served as an electronic warfare officer. Captain Quam was killed in an aircraft crash while supporting U.S. troops in Mogadishu. Again, Mark Allen Quam, class of 1988, in the Air Force at UW-Madison, killed in the conflict in Somalia. We'll come back and talk to Jeremy Lyon for the Division Administrator of the Wisconsin Department of Military Affairs. Stay with us. It's a special Memorial Day edition of the Todd Allball Show on Civic Media.
Town Radio, WFHR. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. CBS News Philadelphia is reporting that police say two people have died and six others have been wounded in a shooting Monday night after a car meetup. Another person was taken to the hospital after being hit by a car in the chaos that ensued. The manhunt continues for a former small-town police chief who escaped from a prison in Arkansas on Sunday. Businesses nearby have closed. Lori Lane works at an antique shop.
Our business is being closed. I understand that the other businesses that are normally open or were closed because of the breakout.
At least 47 people were injured when a minivan drove through a crowd of soccer fans in Britain. CBS's Raimi Innocencio.
Liverpool Football Club won its 20th Premier League title. The club had organized a 10-mile open-top bus parade through the city. Tens of thousands of fans came out, and Liverpool said that they were expecting as many as 1 million people on the streets for today's parade.
Police say the 53-year-old driver acted alone. CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher.
A big win at home for the crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports at American Family Field in Milwaukee, where the Brewers held on to a 3-2 win over the Boston Red Sox. Things got started early. Jackson Chourio in the leadoff spot, bottom of the first. And the first pitch to him on FanDuel Wisconsin.
Swing and a drive! Deep left center! And
Chourio's first ever career leadoff home run and the first this season for the crew. Did that set the tone? Pat Murphy.
Yeah, I think it did. I think it always sets a tone when you come out ready and the first hitter that you have kind of makes a statement.
And D.L. Hall making his first appearance since coming off the IL. Closer Trevor McGill on getting the win before a sold-out crowd of over 40,000.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this stadium gets rocking when there's, you know, a bunch of people in it, and definitely felt that today. Thank you for the fans for coming out today.
That's the Brewers' Trevor McGill with Sports on Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. George Wendt passed away earlier this week. Most people know him as Norm from Cheers, where he spent 11 seasons and was the only cast member, including Ted Danson, to appear in all 275 episodes. In addition to Cheers, his credits include Fletch, Airplane 2, Outside Providence, and of course, Bob Swirsky, one of the Chicago superfans. Here are a couple fun facts about George Wendt. He got his start in Chicago at Second City, but his first job there was sweeping floors. He's actually the uncle to Ted Lasso himself, Jason Sudeikis. Here are some fun Norm lines to remember George Wendt by.
What's shaking, Norm?
All four cheeks and a couple of chins, Coach.
Hey, what's happening, Norm?
It's a dog-eat-dog world, Sammy, and I'm wearing milk-bone underwear.
For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
More news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Look for a mostly cloudy sky and a light east breeze in the overnight. Morning lows in the upper 40s, close to 50 degrees. Shower chances picking up on Tuesday, especially in the afternoon. A mostly cloudy sky, highs reaching the upper 60s.
Right now it's 51.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Hans Breitenmoser, we have people in Congress right now cutting food assistance.
All of it is a disregard for how the economy actually works. When you plant seeds in the ground, you get money close to the ground. That's what makes rural economies work. Urban economies are very similar in that regard. Washington is only as good as its participants, and we've got some real dandies there these days.
That's definitely one way to put it.
Catch Mornings with Pat Kreitlow at its new time, weekdays 6 to 9 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, author Laura Bird talks about some of the upcoming books for your summer reading list and how she finds out about those new books that are being released.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to the Todd Allbaugh Show for our special Memorial Day edition. Here's Todd's conversation with Jeremy Lyon.
Jeremy Lyon, he serves as the administrator of the Division of Veterans Benefits, which includes the Bureau of Programs and Services, Bureau of Cemeteries and Memorial Services, and Bureau of Health Services. So tell us just a little bit about yourself. Again, you have served in the United States Army. You have a decorated resume here in front of you. Tell folks a little bit about why you decided to serve and about some of your military service, if you would.
Well, absolutely. And thank you for the opportunity. So I joined really out of a military family, as a lot of military service members do come from military families. And then, of course, a desire to serve and contribute to the community. So I came out, joined the Army back out of college, back in Arkansas, 2007 timeframe. Was then assigned to the infantry, had an opportunity then to train with those forces and deploy as an infantry platoon leader to Iraq back in 2009 in the city of Mosul, at which point I came back to Wisconsin to go for higher education. This was my first time in Wisconsin. I loved it immediately. It became my forever home, and I've been here ever since. So I had the opportunity to join the Wisconsin National Guard to continue service at that point, and then had one more deployment to Ukraine to help train some of their forces back in 2019. And so basically, it's been an opportunity for me to continue service at this point. I joined the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs about 6 months ago, and it has been a wonderful experience for me. And the opportunity to just continue serving those who served and their families and loved ones has been a true honor.
And you're a graduate of UW Law School as well, I see, here in Madison. So you're a Badger as well.
I am a Badger, absolutely.
I so appreciate you being in here and today on this special day. And I never served. Members of my family have. And I spent time in politics and government. And part of my assignment was working with military folks. And it gave me an opportunity up close to work with families who had lost loved ones in a couple of cases to make sure that remains were delivered back here to the family. It was powerful for me. And I think as someone who didn't serve, this day, as someone who's had the opportunity and honor to go to Arlington National Cemetery, to be at some of Wisconsin's veteran cemeteries and to see services, it always reminds me that for all of us, including myself, the opportunities, the freedoms that we all enjoy on a daily basis are paid for with the lives of those buried in those cemeteries.
Absolutely. And Memorial Day really is an opportunity for all of us to unite around that message and to appreciate the sacrifices of those who've come before and the sacrifices we continue to make on our collective behalf through the military service. It is a powerful mission to commemorate and honor those who've made that sacrifice. And Memorial Day really is, with our cemetery teams out there, just making sure everything is to shrine standard, ready for the public to come and to share that appreciation and commemorate the sacrifices of hundreds of years of military service. So it really is something that should unite us all.
Talk to us a little bit, if you would, please, about what the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs does in terms of what are your responsibilities in working with local chapters when someone, whether it was a veteran who has passed away or whether it is someone who has fallen in active duty and that final service, what is the involvement of Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs?
So when a veteran passes, it is one of the important services we offer, of course, is the military funeral honors. And this is a whole of community effort. So the Wisconsin Department of Veteran Affairs only plays a piece of this. You'll see contributions, of course, from the local cemeteries, from the national cemeteries, from our three state-run cemeteries as well at Union Grove, King, and Spooner. Our role here is to help facilitate and, when necessary, to also provide those military honors. So when you imagine military honors, back in 2000, this was finally enshrined into law, what is a military honor for a funeral? And there are certain elements that are required. So the bugle playing taps, for example, the presentation of the folded flag, the honor guard, these are requirements for the military funeral honors. And coordinating that to make sure that when a veteran passes, we're able to provide that service at our cemeteries or any of the others is one of the crucial roles WDVA plays. So we do that through helping to coordinate actually getting the honor guard out or make sure we've got the bugler. We also provide stipends for the organizations, the local chapter. chapters you were referencing, American mm-hmm. Legion, Veterans of Foreign Wars, a number of partners in the area to include, you know, military units stationed around the area who are able to provide the personnel and the resources to ensure that when that veteran passes and that family has an opportunity to recognize and appreciate their sacrifice and service, that we as a nation and as a community and a state are also able to be there and provide those honors that they have earned.
One of the things, I'm a little older than you, and I can remember, I'm old enough to remember at 54, when I was in high school, and whether it was for Memorial Day or what have you, I remember World War One veterans being there, and certainly a lot of World War II, and a lot of Korean veterans, and kind of the younger veterans of the time were the Vietnam veterans. Yeah. And now with so many of those folks having passed, and you know, the wars that we have fought, the conflicts we've been involved in since have been relatively smaller than World War II, thank goodness on that side. But do you see less veterans able to, you know, go and play the taps, go and be part of the honor guard? Is there a shortage of folks who can help out with these services now? And if so, what's the solution?
You've really tapped into something about the changing demography of veterans in the United States, and it's absolutely a very insightful point. Because really there were a lot more veterans coming out of World War II, out of Vietnam, when we had periods of draft and expanded service. And we are seeing a reduction per capita in veterans. So we are home in Wisconsin to a third of a million, about 330,000 veterans. That is a declining number over time, just because of the demography and the changes as we age. The funeral honors program reflects that in a lot of ways. And I think I recently heard, you know, average age for some of our honor guard, mid-70s.
Wow.
Out there. Wow. And their continued service to be out there for all of these funerals and to personally contribute of themselves to the honor and memory of those veterans is truly powerful.
Yeah. And are you seeing, for lack of a better term, civilian folks stepping in some cases and helping out, particularly playing taps or things like that? Or is it still just veterans who are part of these honor guards right now?
Well, there is some requirements in the honor guards that they be military veterans or a certain proportion be military veterans. You have to have some from the component or from the branch of the service of the veteran who's passed. So while there certainly are opportunities for our civilian colleagues and friends to join and help honor, there are some of these that really do have to be military unit or veteran filling those roles. And it is inspiring to see some of our older veterans continue to provide that service. And it's an opportunity, again, to call to service those who have served, the younger veterans, to step forward as well and be part of that broad community. Because the story that you were highlighting, World War I veterans, World War II veterans, this is our national history. Mm-hmm. And this is our chance to be part of that larger national history. And commemorating these stories is a responsibility we all have to say thank you to those who sacrificed of themselves for our collective good. So it's a heavy mission and responsibility. There's an opportunity for everyone to commemorate and to honor veterans, mm-hmm. Volunteering at the cemeteries or working with the parades or any number of ways. There are probably as many ways to commemorate Memorial Day as there are Americans.
We're talking with Jeremy Lyon. He serves as the administrator of the Division of Veterans Benefits, which includes the Bureau of Programs and Services, Bureau of Cemeteries and Memorial Services, and Bureau of Health Services here for the state of Wisconsin on this Memorial Day. About 5 minutes left, Jeremy, in this segment. I want to talk a little bit about Gold Star families, because I think a lot of people drive around, they see, oh, there's this Gold Star in somebody's window. Tell folks what that means and what the Department of Veterans Services here in Wisconsin does in support of these Gold Star families.
Oh, absolutely. So a Gold Star family, the Gold Star is extremely significant and reflects a family tragedy. That is a family member who has passed in service, had fallen in action for the military. And protecting, honoring, supporting our Gold Star families is one of the most important missions we can fulfill, because we honor the dead by honoring the living. Mm-hmm. And the families are also sacrificing on behalf of our nation, and their sacrifice cannot be forgotten or ignored. So what does the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs do? Well, we provide as much as we can in the forms of our veterans' benefits for dependents, for the spouses of the fallen, to ensure they have both a social security net, emotional and community security net. We have any number of programs to help. So across the Wisconsin Chapter 45, our benefits, and across generally, you know, the entire Veterans Affairs enterprise, you'll see things like the property tax credit for surviving spouses. You'll see education benefits to ensure that their children can receive a college degree. These are just any number of the services that we provide for those who've had family members fall in action.
I just think it's still powerful because we've had opportunity and pleasure to have General David May on this program before, the Wisconsin Air National Guard.
Phenomenal leader.
He really is. And he's talked about the family tightness of Wisconsin's Air National Guard in particular. But have you found that in your time here at Wisconsin and now being involved through Department of Veterans Affairs, have you found this family atmosphere so when a tragedy does strike that there is a net there, a family net to help uplift and support those who carry on?
Absolutely, there is. The family contribution to the entire effort can't be understated, really. Mm-hmm. And in so many ways, it is the family that is helping to honor and lift up the veteran. For those who've returned from war with the visible or invisible wounds of that war, it is the family that is providing the strength and stability. And it is the military family, not related by blood, but related by shared sacrifice, mm-hmm. That is able to form that bond in that community, to talk through any of the experiences or traumas, and to help bring that person back into civilian life, mm-hmm. to bring them finally home from war, mm-hmm. mentally, if not also physically.
Yeah. A couple minutes left here. Talk briefly, if you would. Arlington National Cemetery gets a lot of publicity, as it should, but there are also Wisconsin veteran cemeteries here as well.
That's right, and thank you for raising that. We have three state-run cemeteries here, as referenced earlier, in King, Union Grove, and Spooner. These are administered through the state of Wisconsin and the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs, but in partnership with and credentialed through the National Cemetery Administration, which is the same organization that manages Arlington. So you'll see the headstones, the layout. Our cemeteries are modeled on the same standards and guidelines as Arlington to ensure uniformity and to provide that shrine an opportunity to commemorate veterans and their sacrifices across the state. And they have Memorial Day events as well. So I would recommend anybody have the opportunity today, for instance, at Central. There's a Memorial Day ceremony. These are always wonderful, beautiful events, mm-hmm. community supported, to see all of the flags at the headstones, to see the flag plaza on full display. It is a sobering and beautiful event.
I would just encourage personally anybody, even if you have not served, go and sit and meditate there for a moment, because whether it's in Wisconsin, a veteran cemetery, or in Arlington, it's been one of the most powerful experiences of my life. And it's not to oversell it, but transformative, because it really makes you think about what has been given so that we could go out and have picnics today on Memorial Day.
If you have the opportunity to go to Central and take one of those meditative moments, mm-hmm. you would be sitting among gravestones from the Civil War, the Vietnam War, recently fallen from Iraq and Afghanistan. It really is a piece of history to provide that opportunity again to see hundreds of years of sacrifice on our collective behalf and to be thankful for what they've done.
Jeremy Lyon, 30 seconds, final thoughts from you on this Memorial Day 2024.
I hope everyone has a safe and wonderful Memorial Day. Please do, if you have a chance, take that moment to remember and reflect on the sacrifices made on our collective behalf by our military forces. But ultimately, we all approach Memorial Day in our same way, so keep it safe. And thank you all.
Jeremy Lyon serves as the administrator for the Division of Veterans Benefits, including the Bureau of Programs and Services, Bureau of Cemeteries, Memorial Services, and Bureau of Health Services. Thank you for coming in. Thank you for your service. And we'll love to have you back on the show soon.
Thank you, Todd. It's really a pleasure.
We'll be back with more on the special Memorial Day edition of the Todd Allball Show. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local news, weather, and sports on air and streaming on the Civic Media app. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We are the keepers of the wild. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving the natural landscapes that define our nation. Nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters. Together with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. For more information, visit outdoorstewards.org.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Your local Civic Media radio station is your source for real news and great conversation, plus fun and exciting contests. For a complete list of contest rules, log on WFHR.com/contest-terms. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Being blind doesn't look how others may think.
Retinitis pigmentosa aimed to overwhelm my family.
It tried to cut me down.
I know where to find support.
Learn more at fightingblindness.org. A public service message from the Foundation Fighting Blindness.
Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to a special Memorial Day edition of the Todd Allball Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along with us. Special thanks to Jeremy Lyon of the Division Administrator at the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs. Really appreciate him and giving us his time. We thank him for his service, but I think, as he said, more importantly, serving those who served us. And when you listen to the powerful, again, these stories we've been reading today of Gold Star families that are enshrined at the University of Wisconsin Memorial Union, and hearing Jeremy as a veteran himself talk about the power of having to work, or not having to, but having the privilege to work with Gold Star families here in the state of Wisconsin, it's moving. And we thank Jeremy for what he does and all the great folks at the Department of Veterans Affairs for supporting those who have been killed in action, and certainly their families after they have been taken from us in the most valiant of ways. And all the things we enjoy today, picnics and tenting and all those things on Memorial Day, are due in large part, if not in all, to those folks who gave everything. Want to continue on. We told you earlier in the show, the two most recent service members killed in action who are enshrined at the Gold Star Honor Roll at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. I want to go back and tell you the very first, or at least by alphabetical order, I guess, from the American Civil War, University of Wisconsin class of 1862. That's the records here are just astounding. This is Private Gideon W. Allen, United States Army, 22nd Infantry Regiment, Company G, as in George. He was born in Ohio. We don't know what town, but in the state of Ohio, in 1832. And he died in Danville, Kentucky, on January 20th, 1863. Private Allen enlisted on August 2nd of 1862. He was a native of Ohio. He volunteered to join the Union Army and joined Company G of the 22nd Wisconsin Infantry Regiment, nicknamed the Abolition Regiment. He died on the 21st of January, 1863, from what was known at the time as congestion of the brain, which referred to a variety of ailments. Of course, this is during the Civil War. At the time of his death, he was in Danville, Kentucky. Private Allen was survived by a son who was born in 1862. Gideon W. Allen of the United States Army, killed in the American Civil War. Again, a student at UW-Madison at one time. And that's just, again, to bring it home, I mean, these records go all the way back to the Civil War. Moving ahead to World War I, Harold Everett Kinney, UW-Madison class of 1918. He was born in Idaho, in Idaho, and on February 28th, 1896, died in France in 1918 on July 19th. Second Lieutenant Kinney attended First Officers Training Camp at Fort Sheridan and was one of five men to be sent to France immediately. Second Lieutenant Kinney was killed in action when struck in the head by a machine gun bullet while heading off an enemy counterattack. Harold Everett Kinney, UW-Madison class of 1918, second lieutenant in the United States Army. And we hear that story time and again. So many of these folks on the Gold Star Honor Roll at the University of Wisconsin Memorial Union were people who were killed in the line of action while either attacking the enemy or defending folks in their own unit, and died as absolute heroes. Also from World War II then, Orville Edward Lutke, United States Army. Lutke was born in Milwaukee, Wisconsin in 1919, died on October 12th, 1943. He is buried in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. More about Lieutenant Lutke. During his time at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, Lieutenant Lutke studied journalism and was on the Cardinal staff his sophomore and junior years. He was a member of Sigma Delta Chi, and Sigma knew and participated in the band, University of Wisconsin band, tennis, and served on the dormitory cabinet during his senior year, served as the public relations chairman of that organization. Lieutenant Lutke enlisted in March of 1942. He died on October 12th at a hospital in Utah after being shot while on night maneuvers. Orville Edward Lutke, University of Wisconsin-Madison class of 1941. Going through this Gold Star Honor Roll, people who have given everything, and again, these are just folks that went to or were students or graduates of the University of Wisconsin-Madison. This could be repeated, I'm sure, at University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, other places around the state of Wisconsin, all across the country, quite frankly. And we pause on this Memorial Day to remember those who gave all. I hope that if you're listening to this, that you already have, or if you have a chance to go out to a Memorial Day remembrance celebration today, pause and reflect. those who gave everything, and pray for those and think of those who still remain.
Is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Christopher Cruz. It's been a deadly night in Philadelphia. CBS News Philadelphia is reporting that police say two people have died and six others have been wounded in a shooting. It happened late Monday night after a car meetup. Three more inmates who escaped from the New Orleans jail almost 2 weeks ago have been captured. The latest from CBS News New Orleans reporter Lily Cummings.
Around 6 Monday evening, the sixth arrest was made by Baton Rouge police. Police say they received an anonymous tip. About an hour later, we learned two more inmates were captured by Texas authorities in Walker County. That's about 75 miles north of Houston. That leaves two inmates on the run.
11 passengers, including two children, were injured when a boat